Pick up the Bible in front of you in the pew and turn with me to the 4th chapter of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 4. We're reading from verse 4 to verse 24. Verse 4 of John's Gospel, chapter 4 to verse 24. Taking your time from me. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where man ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And God shall stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very own infallible book. Take your Bible and open it with me in the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, we read there in chapter 12. Chapter 12, and at the verse 4, Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Last Lord's Day, we noted his 50 years in Ur of the Chaldees. We noticed then that he disobeyed God when God called him to leave his father's house and to leave his father and all his kindred and go to a land that God would show him. But instead of doing that, the father and the other members of the family took the lead. And we found 25 years were lost. Lost in the place where he lingered instead of obeying God's voice. We now come to Abram when he was 76 years old, 11 more years on since he left Haran and came into the land of promise. When he entered the land of promise, chapter 12, he erected his first altar unto the Lord. You'll read that in chapter 12 and verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Would you please notice the difference? We read in verse 7 that when he came to Shechem, what did he do? He builded an altar unto the Lord that appeared unto him. It doesn't say he called on the name of the Lord. It says he built an altar unto the Lord. But when we come to Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, it says that he called upon the name of the Lord. It was never the purpose of God that any of the patriarchs should remain in Shechem, but they did, as we shall see. But interesting enough, but I'm sure some of you said, what is the preacher doing reading from John's Gospel this morning? For John's Gospel, at chapter 4 speaks of the first mission that Christ had from Jerusalem to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. But where did he go through? He went to Sychar or Shechem, for the well that Jacob had built it was there. And he sat thus by the well. I would ask you today to take your Bible when you go home and look at Genesis chapter 33. And you'll find that Jacob came to Shechem for trouble. And trouble he got. And then, when we go on in the scriptures, we come to that great man, Joshua. But Shechem for Joshua was a place with a difference, as we shall see. But then we come to our Lord visiting Shechem or Sychar, where the well was. And what do we read there? We read a very interesting discussion. A discussion between the woman of Samaria and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I discovered this week that this conversation had 7 words from Christ. Look at verse 7. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. That's the first one. Then in verse 10, he said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Then in verse 13, he answered and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And then in verse 16, he said, go call thy husband. Then in verse 17, he said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Then that's the 4th and 5th. And then in verse 21, we have his 6th statement. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And then the last statement was, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And if you look at your testament, you will find the he is in italic. That means it's not in the original Greek text, put there by the translators to bring out the sense. What did he say? I that speak unto thee am the great I am. The personal testimony of Christ to an individual. That's for the first time it is recorded in any of the statements of Christ that he publicly to that sinful woman said, I am God, and there is none else. If you study carefully those 7 statements, you'll find how they lead up to that great declaration that he was the I am. But when you turn to Jacob's visit to Shechem, you find that Jacob also, like Abraham, went out of God's will. He was not to buy any ground in Palestine. Why? Because Palestine was gifted to Jacob and given to him. And here we have him buying his own property. Why? Because he was outside God's will. He shouldn't have remained in Shechem at all. If you read the scriptures, you'll find he was to go to Bethel. But he didn't go to Bethel. He thought he would stay in Shechem. And you know what happened in Shechem? His daughter Dinah was polluted by the prince of Shechem. And there's a sad, dark story about Shechem. Just the same way there's a dark, sad story about the woman at the well. She had lost her purity. Jacob's daughter, centuries before, had lost her purity. Shechem was not the place where he should have been building his altar. The place was Bethel, for Bethel was the true house of God. And if you study that 12th chapter carefully, you'll find that when Abram came back from Egypt, he didn't go back to the first altar that he built in Shechem. He went back to the altar that he had at the first. Notice the careful message of the Holy Spirit of God. It was to Bethel. For it was to Bethel he was to go. And he was to stay in Bethel. Now Jacob did not stay in Bethel. And you need to study that, and that's the story of another day. But it is interesting to note that here was Jacob supposed to be going back to his father Isaac. And instead of that, he's buying ground in Shechem and staying there. Miles and miles and miles away from Hebron, where his father Isaac was. How easily we can get outside the will of God. And there was a lot of things happened in this 11 years that he was in the promised land. A lot of strange things were happening. First of all, you will notice, if you turn back to the 12th chapter of Genesis, you will notice that something happened. What happened? There was a famine in the land. Verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. There are 13 famines mentioned in Scripture. 13. They're all very important. So if you take your concordance and look up the word famine, you'll count 13 famines referred to in the Bible. But what was happening here? Why was there a famine? A famine that was grievous in the land. That could have resulted in Abraham's home being wiped out and the death of all in it. They could have starved to death because this was the first attack of Satan upon the house of Abraham to destroy his wife, who was, of course, to give birth to the royal seed from which Christ was to be born. And the whole life of Abraham is attack after attack after attack upon the purity of his wife. And if you study that, you will see the power of Satan to destroy the royal seat. And isn't it interesting that in Abraham you have a microcosm, the history of Israel. For didn't they go down into Egypt because there was a famine in the land? Didn't they do the same thing? So you have in Abraham, in microcosm, the history of the whole Israelite race. Egypt. Egypt in the Bible was always down. Look at verse 10. Abram went down into Egypt. Down. It's a type of the world. And when a Christian is out of tune with God, he's going down. He's not reaching the heights of blessing. He's reaching the depths of degradation. He went down. And before he reached Egypt, he said to his wife, he said, "Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." He found out that he had married a beauty, and he was going down into Egypt. And this man is the friend of God. This man had more immediate communication with God than any other individual that ever lived. And yet he falls foul to the devil's way. He decides to go to Egypt, and then he starts to think the way you think when you're in the world. Only a worldly man would have thought this way. He says, "I want you to save my life." He didn't say his life was covered by the keeping of God, and that underneath him was the everlasting arms. He says, "I want you to tell a lie. But I want to hide behind that lie, that it might be well with me for thy sake." And immediately she went down to Egypt. Pharaoh saw she was a beautiful woman and took her into his harem. But God prevented the destruction of the virginity of Sarai. And he struck the house of Pharaoh with plagues. Verse 17. Didn't I tell you that this was the history of Israel in microcosm? And here you have the plagues. Remember, God sent 10 plagues into Egypt, didn't he? And chastised Pharaoh before. Here we have this in microcosm in the life of Abram. And Pharaoh called him and he said, "What hast thou done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife?" And he commanded that the man should go away, and his wife, and all that he had. But among all that he had was a servant girl called Hagar. And if ever there was going to be sin in the house of Abraham, that young woman that Sarah took as a maid in Egypt was going to bring sorrow. And that sorrow is still in the Middle East today. The sin of Abraham is being fought out in Palestine today. You never escape from the results of sin. You can be saved from the guilt of sin, but the results of sin always stay. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we're seeing that today in the Middle East. And we'll see it until Christ comes back again. There will be no peace in the Middle East. Because God's judgment is always upon sin. And here we have sin. And then we come to chapter 13. And at chapter 13, we find that Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Hai means the heap. Bethel means the house of God. Hai was the place of sin. When Joshua, you remember, was going to take over the land, and the man took off the silver and the gold and the Babylonian garment from Jericho, and then they marched to Ai, and the place of victory in Jericho was turned into utter defeat. Ai speaks to us of the sin in the camp. How do you get to God's house from sin? You have to come via the altar. The altar stood between Bethel and Ai. There was an altar. And you can only get to Christ through the altar. You never get rid of sin until you go to the cross. And then when you go to the cross, you journey on to the house of God. But there's no other way. And you will notice here that the Holy Spirit is very careful about it, says. He doesn't talk about his tent being where it was at the beginning, or his altar. He talks about his tent had been at the beginning, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. So the tent that he put up at the first was here at Bethel. The only place where God's people can sojourn in this world is at the tent that has its foundations at the cross. That's the only place where we can have. And then as we go on, we find this man Lot. Here we have another problem. You see, Lot went down with Abram to Egypt, and then he got a taste of Egypt. And he never forgot the taste of Egypt. If we hadn't the New Testament, I'm sure there'd be many preachers in haste to tell their congregation that Lot was in hell. He's not in hell. Lot's in heaven. The Bible tells me he was a righteous man. And his righteous soul was vexed every day with the filthy conversation of Sodom, but he stayed there. And you know the sad result that came to him? His wife was judged. He went to the little place called Zoar. He had to leave it. He went into a cave, and his two daughters polluted him in that cave and made him a pervert. What a sad end. But he still was a saved man, because his righteous soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of Sodom. So here we have a fight that started. And Lot, thirsting for more cattle, more gold, more silver, he decided that he must fight with Abram's cattle keepers. And so So they thought. And Abram said, Lot, I'm your father's brother. I love you, but we can't live together anymore. It's got to be separation. And the first step that Abram made in recovery was separation from the kindred he should have left in Ur of the Chaldees. Lot should never have been with him, but they went with him. There's always hangers on when a man wants to do the will of God. And that's true in church history. There's others come with him, but they don't want to take the stand. And so we have here this story of the separation. The separation. And what happened? Lot looked to Sodom. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot got right into Sodom. Had to be pulled out of Sodom by the angels, the hand of the angels of God. What a dark story this is of apostatizing, leaving the good way and going the evil way. But with it all, when you come to chapter 14, Abram was prepared to give up his life in order to save Lot from the enemies that took him. The kings here, these kings joined together to fight, and they took Lot, Abram's brother, verse 12 of chapter 14, Abram's brother's brother, brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. Took him prisoner, took all his goods and went. And what happened? Abram didn't cry at home. Abraham armed his own family and went out to the battle. And when he went out to the battle, he won a tremendous victory. And you find all about the slaughter of Lot's enemies. And he comes back again with all the goods. But when he comes back, he meets a strange character. One of the strangest and most mysterious characters in the Bible. Melchizedek, King of Salem. The Bible commentators are greatly divided who Melchizedek was. Some say he was Shem, one of the sons of Noah, who would still have been living at that time. Others say this is a theophany, an Old Testament appearance of Christ. But there is one thing is absolutely sure, that Melchizedek certainly represented our Lord Jesus Christ. He was without father or mother, or beginning or ending of days. And when he came to Abram, he blessed Abram. And he got from Abraham tithes of all that he had. He paid his tithe money to Melchizedek. But notice, none of the tithes contained any money that was already dirtied by Sodom. He wouldn't take any of the spoils. He gave out of his own living not out of the living that he got from the world. Because God wants his people to give good money, if I might use that, to the Lord's work, and not something that they've got by falsehood. I knew a man, and when he made a good deal, and it was a deal, and some deals are not honorable, when he made a good deal, when he met the first preacher he met, he gave him a tenner. And he said, "I like to do that, Ian." He says, "I ask that to put the poultice on the running sore in your conscience, that your deal wasn't good, so you thought you'd give the Lord's servant something." And says, I am sure. I said to him, "You didn't give him the tithe, you didn't give him the tenth of your profit." "Oh," he said, "you're far too particular." Well, I want to say, God's looking for the clean money of his people. God's looking for the money that they have earned honestly and before God to give in their tithe money to the Lord. A great story this of Melchizedek. And then you will notice what the king of Sodom said. He didn't say to Abram, "Give me back the money." He says, "Give me the persons." Look at 21. Because Sodom was a place where persons were destroyed. They were perverted. They got the stump of sodomy upon them. And the old king of Sodom said, "Give me the persons." Looks as if the government we have today saying the same thing. "Give me the persons." Because this is an age of uncleanness, an age of sodomy, an age of vileness, an age where immorality is rife in every business of life. He said, "I will not take a thread nor a shoe latchet." The thread had to do with the raiment, and the latchet had to do with the clothing of the feet, the shoes. And he said, "I will not take from you a shoe latchet, nor will I take a thread." Happy is the man of God and the woman of God who walks like Abraham in the path of separation. What is happening? Abram's coming to the place where separation is going to be the guiding star of his future life. The great divide. He divides from Egypt. He divides from Sodom. He divides from Lot. The path is one of clean-cut separation. Abram is seen as a soldier. He fights the Lord's battle. He is seen as the subject. He swears allegiance and gives his tithe to Melchizedek. And he is seen as a separatist. He goes outside the camp to bear reproach for God. God is calling his people today to be soldiers, to be good subjects of their sovereign, King Jesus, and to be separatists from the world. And this is the path that will bring to us all the blessings of God that make rich and add no sorrow thereto. May God bless his word to our hearts for his great name's sake. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank thee today for thy word. Thy word is truth. And we pray that thou wouldst write it upon our inmost souls, and that we will walk the way of fighting the good fight, of being completely subjected to the will of God, and to be a separatist from the world, the flesh, and the devil, for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.